Bonnie, does that go far enough to satisfy your concerns?
Nothing ever does, Bob. it's better.
Okay, other comments on this language? Other, anyone else? Well, don't all shout at once.
Well, it seems like you have an affirmation by absence of...
Well, last chance. Any other comments on my wording changes? Okay, then is there any objection to adopting that wording?
So this then goes to the PNB.
Correct. Okay. All right. Without objection, that motion is passed. Now let's move on to the second one, which is for the next. Actually, Steve, do you want to limit it to the next election mailing, or do?
No, I that was sloppy wording.
Okay,
I think
so
for
all election mailings.
Right.
Let's see. And again, I'm going to clean up some language as I go along here. The five Pacifica stations should print. Well, actually, it's not the Pacifica stations that print the ballot envelope. It's who
say it shall be printed.
That would be the national supervisor, right? Is he or she in charge of designing the ballot envelope? I believe
so. Why not leave that out and just say they shall be printed on the envelopes, an ancillary service endorsement, and let whoever job it is do it.
Okay. There shall be printed an ancillary service envelope, an ancillary service endorsement, quote, return service requested on each ballot envelope. The words must be in 10-point type or larger and appear in the...
8-point.
Sorry.
8-point.
My fault. 8-point type or larger and appear in the upper left-hand corner directly below the return address with 1/4 inch of clear space and below.
Again, that's something that the mailing house will make sure.
Yeah, now, just because these motions are going to stand on their own, let's put in a phrase as to where these specs came from. Who requires these specs? What entity?
Post Office.
The U.S. Postal Service? Okay, so
right.
I'm going to put in, according to U.S. Postal Service
requirements.
Is that the right word, requirements, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. The words must be blah, 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 blah. Okay? This will result in all incorrectly addressed envelopes being returned within 6 to 14 days of mailing, at which time the indicated corrections should be made to each station's database under the supervision of its subscription manager or functional equivalent. And directly addressed replacement ballots remailed to the appropriate members. Now, I realize what needs to be clarified here is this is the remailing is not a function of the station staff. That's a function of the national and local supervisor. Now, you know, that certainly did cause us some problems before, but that's the system that our bylaws says.
By leaving out the who's doing what, this is going to have to be worked on by the people who are handling the elections.
Right. So why don't we leave out the part about under the supervision of the subscription manager and just leave it unstated that, you know, however that, I mean, there may be a division of labor at some station.
That's fine. That's
yeah.
Fine.
Okay, so let me read it again without that phrase. This will result in all incorrectly addressed envelopes being returned within 6 to 14 days of mailing, at which time the indicated corrections should be made to each station's database, comma, and correctly addressed replacement ballots remailed to the appropriate members. Any further wording changes anyone wants to make?
Bill.
Go ahead.
I think it's a good idea, but I'd like to extend it a little more and not just say the next election mailing, because I think any mailings we're doing to our membership give us an opportunity to help clean up the list, and it would help us come election time, as well as saving the station's money. So could we say that any mailings have an ancillary service endorsement with return service requested?
Well, let me just call on myself, because that might or
the
might not be
mandate.
A good idea, but that's not really what the election committee is supposed to work on.
Well, so except it would help. It would help minimize problems come time for the election mailing.
How?
By helping us get the more addresses corrected before we send out the election packet. For example, every fund drive we send out letters to people who've contributed, and then we also send out, I don't know, once a year or something like that, requests for donations or for donating in advance of the drive. And if we were able to get the address corrections from those, then there wouldn't be as many errors in the election mailing that we send out next year.
I see what you're saying. Well, Steve, I have a question for you. What costs are involved in doing this?
I'm sorry, in doing what?
This motion number two.
Carolyn Beck.
Okay. If all five stations implement motion number two, what costs will they incur?
I'd have to look at my notes, but I don't believe there'd be any cost for this.
So you just type on your envelope return service requested, and it's just automatically done?
Right.
Uh-huh. So then there...
I thought, if I could interrupt here, I, having used this service before, the cost is the return postage, and that's it, far as I know.
Okay, so for those addresses that are bad, then the station would pay first-class rate for that to be returned, is that correct?
That's been the process that I've worked with, yeah.
Okay, and does anyone know if any station currently uses this for their general mailings?
I never noticed one way or the other.
Go
ahead, Steve.
Correct that. I'm just remembering what I said. There are several ways of doing this. One of them results in the return of the complete envelope, and they do not forward it. Another one results in forwarding the envelope, and you just get a Xerox of the change. There are several different versions. This particular one, and I have to look and see why I picked this one, I forgot. I don't believe this one costs anything, but because what happens is it's not forwarded. I think it just comes back as being unmailable. In other words, when you send out an envelope and it can't be delivered, you get it back and you're not charged any postage on it.
I'm looking on the USPS site, and it says the one you chose is return service requested, right?
Correct.
So it says if UAA, which stands for undeliverable as addressed, the mail piece is returned with the new address or reason for non-delivery and no charge.
Correct. That's what I said. No charge. You do not want... See, normally... people want their mail to be forwarded, but this one does not forward it. If it's forwarded, you don't get the information back. This way, you get the ballot back, you know that it's not mailable, you see who you mailed it to, you see the new address if they have it, if you don't, you contact the person, and then you mail out a new ballot with the proper coding on it to the new person.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So, in other words, if I move... and I fill out a please forward my mail, if we send the ballot, if it's sent to me with return service requested, it's not going to be forwarded. It's going to be returned to the station. Is that correct?
That's correct, with an indication of where you move to. To me, that's the best of all possible worlds, and it's no charge.
The best to me of all possible worlds, if I'm the person that decided to move and have my mail forwarded, is that my mail gets forwarded to me.
You will get it, because the station will get back this envelope, or the election supervisor will get back the envelope and send it out to the correct address. We will then put that correct address in our database as well. If it were forwarded, you would not get any information that this address was changed, and you'd wind up sending it out to the wrong address again. And after a while, the post office no longer will do anything about it.
Steve, I have a question then. So you're saying this post office does not offer a service that gives you both
It does.
Both forwards it and sends notification of the new address back to the sender? That doesn't exist as an option?
I think one has a charge.
Yeah.
Okay, do you
have... It's called address service requested. And it says under that, months 1 through 12, the mail piece is forwarded, no charge, a separate notice of the new address is provided, an address correction fee is charged.
Does it list the fee?
No. Maybe if I read further.
Okay. Well, it seems to me that this is an option that the National Election Supervisor may want to explore as to whether, given, I mean, we can all, you know, say that we're going to learn the lessons of the last three elections and make sure that the remailing of ballots to people whose address was faulty will be done flawlessly and that everyone will get it on time. But we know that there have been lots of problems with that and probably will continue to be at least some problems, even if the process is improved. So it seems like the option of allowing the voter to just automatically get the mail forwarded and pay for the correction to the database might be, depending on how much it is, might be a way to go. And I think I wouldn't be comfortable with us mandating which of those two options are selected as long as one of them is selected.
Right. Here's the problem with that second option. What happens is, in many cases, you will not have the corrected or forwarding address, and you will not get that envelope back, I believe. So you will not know what happened, although I'm not sure. You know what? You're right. Let the election supervisor worry about it.
Okay. So if we do it, I'm all for a little more flexibility. So then let's put in both terms and, you know, again, use the language about recommended. So, Steve, what's the other service called? It's return service requested.
Address service requested.
Address service requested.
As opposed to this one, which is return service requested.
Okay. And is there a parallel to this phrase, ancillary service endorsement?
No, they're all ancillary services.
Oh, those are two varieties of ancillary.
Yes, I was just using the term of art that the post office uses.
Okay. All right. Let me play with this here. So... okay, that for all election mailings, there shall be printed an ancillary service endorsement, parenthesis, either return service requested or address service requested, close parenthesis, on each ballot envelope. And then the rest, I won't read it again about the specs. This will result in all incorrectly addressed. Okay, now we have to break it down into what the two different options
would be. Bob, you also have to make it clear that the difference between address and return service requested is not two ways of saying the same thing. Because
right.
The
no,
initiated
that's,
will look at it.
No, exactly. Days. That's what I was going to try to reconstruct the next sentence. So we'd start with if return service requested is used, and then we stick with your initial sentence, which is this will result in all incorrectly addressed envelopes being returned within 6 to 14 days of mailing, at which time the indicated corrections should be made to each station's database and correctly addressed replacement ballots remailed to the appropriate members. If address service requested is used, now Steve, help me finish that sentence.
I believe the envelope will be forwarded to the new address if one exists, and a notice will be sent back to the mailer as to what that new address is. I don't remember, if I even knew, what happens if it's not forwardable.
Okay.
It does say here that the address correction fees, if it's a manual notice, it's 50 cents. If it's an electronic notice or a manual notice for an ACS participant, first class mail is 8 cents fee, all other classes 25 cent fee.
This is all over and above whatever postage is initially required.
Okay, so why don't we just say, all right, well, let me read this sentence, see how it sounds. If address service requested is used, this will result in the envelope being forwarded to the new address with a notice sent back to the mailer as to what that address is for an additional fee. Is that an accurate summary?
Yeah. Bob, you know what? I'd make the further suggestion is that the best source of information on the pros and cons of these two things is not me or Bonnie or anybody. The mailing house really understands the ins and outs, and there may be much more to this than we're dealing with right now. So my recommendation is that the election supervisor discuss with the mailing house the options, what the pros and cons are, and figure out which is best for us. I don't feel comfortable about mandating or recommending just these two things without instructions.
Okay. I think that makes a lot of sense. So, I'm sorry, Bonnie?
Sounds good.
Yeah. So,
it's going to be one or the other, but I don't think we should make the choice.
Right. Okay. I'm just trying to throw something together here. That for all election mailings, the National Election Supervisor it is recommended that the National Election Supervisor research the best mailing options to ensure receipt of corrected addresses such as...
Why don't we simply say there are two alternatives with a return service and address service requested, and that the election supervisor should discuss with the mailing house which would be most appropriate for certificate under the circumstances that we find obtaining at the election time. And that would free everybody's hands, but limit the choices to those two.
Well, I agree with the spirit of it. I'm just trying to craft it in appropriate motion language. And try this out. That for all election mailings, it is recommended that the National Election Supervisor research the best mailing options to ensure receipt of corrected addresses, such as return service requested or address service requested. Because maybe there's a third option that, you know, that we're not aware of.
There is something called change service requested.
Right.
We don't want that.
So by the such as, then that suggests that these might be the best, but we're not all-knowing on this.
You can also cut out all these specifications I put in about type
yeah.
and location.
No, I'm saying that would be... Right. I'm agreeing with you. This would be the entire motion. Just I'll read it again. That for all election mailings, it is recommended that the National Election Supervisor research the best mailing options to ensure receipt of corrected addresses, such as return service requested or address service requested. Any further modifications to that? Okay, hearing none. Any objections? Okay, hearing none, it's adopted. So now let's move on to the first class mail. In order to save $48,500 to $67,500 in the next election, the Elections Committee recommends that the PNB adopt the following.
What it is
motion.
Is that, yeah, just to sum up, because I read more.
Can you speak louder, please?
Yeah, just to give you some of the information that I remember. The cost of nonprofit mailing, standard mailing, is about 8.5 cents per envelope. It's much more for first class, and I don't think you have a nonprofit option in first class. So, and the calculations I did, 48,000 to 67,000, however I arrived at those, it's spelled out in the exact thing. But it's a lot of money, and it's worth doing because the time is the same.
Okay, and Steve, what does CRE stand for?
Customer return envelope, a courtesy return envelope. It means that you're giving them an envelope as a courtesy, but they've got to put on their own stamp. It's a post office euphemism.
Okay. All right, so the motion would be that standard class mail be used for future elections, for future, future elections, instead of first-class mail, and that a CRE, or courtesy return envelope, instead of a BRE, or business reply envelope, be enclosed for return of ballots. Any discussion of that motion? Actually, we should, for clarity of the PNB, we should say that the PNB, we recommend that the PNB rescind its earlier motion mandating first class mailing of all election of all ballots and instead adopt the following motion. Any other comments or modifications to that wording? Okay, hearing none. Is there any objection to adopting it? Okay, then that's adopted, and I will send this mailing. I'll send this wording to the committee, and we'll go on.
Great.
Okay, let's see here. Next.
Wow, you do the next one as fast. We won't have to meet ever again. The next election.
All right. Next is cutting election costs, and for those of you who read all the way down the email that I sent. This meeting and the last meeting, the working group that was composed of Bill, Anthony, and myself came up with a list of ideas, most of which are not new, but just we thought it was really important, and the Finance Committee explicitly asked our committee to come up with a list of all the ways that we could think of to cut costs in elections. So do people have a copy of this? Was with the agenda I sent out yesterday? Or actually, I think I sent out Saturday. Does anyone not have that handy?
I confess I didn't install my computer today, so I'm going to take a look. Make sure I have it.
Certainly, find it here quickly enough.
Okay, I'll wait a minute for people to look for it.
Is this heading? Is this subject election timetable?
No, the heading is PNB Election Committee Call Monday, November 10th.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Anyone
okay,
else?
Yes, this is Wesley in Houston, and
yes.
I can't get into the computer right now. So.
Yeah, no, I'll be glad to read it. Okay, so it says, I want to thank Anthony for putting together these notes. Following is a compilation of possible cost-saving measures to be employed in Pacifica LSB elections. List was developed by members of the PNB Election Committee. Okay, so the first category, which has three sub-points, is seek out low bidders and possible free or low-cost services. You know what just occurred to me is that I think I skipped over the first working group on the RFP. My apologies, folks.
On what?
The request for proposal.
Maybe we should we just keep going, though?
Well, no, actually, that has a time urgency that's more than this. So I apologize. Yosh, are you prepared to present that?
I am, although Anthony is the convener.
Well, whichever of you is prepared.
Well,
I'm getting a lot of static.
Yeah, there is a bit of static. I'm not sure there's anything we can do about it, unless everyone who's not speaking can try muting and see if that helps.
I'm officially the convener, but I will freely acknowledge that Yosha has done the lion's share of the work on this.
Well, okay, Anthony, then I'll go ahead and...
can you speak? Bob? Can everyone speak loud so that they can be heard over the static? Oh, it just went
that
away.
It's gone.
Okay. Go ahead.
What would you like? Would you like the gist of RFP number 6, or did you want the motion?
Why don't you start with reading just the motion itself and then sort of summarize, because we're never going to have time to read every word of the RFP out loud. So start with reading the motion and then motivate it.
Sure. Sure, but I will reiterate in case the people came in late or missed it. RFP number 6 was circulated just shortly before 5 p.m. Pacific time today, or perhaps approximately 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. But the motion of the Elections Committee would read as follows. In order to comply with the separation of the electoral process from the governance of Pacifica as required in the bylaws, the Pacifica National Board hereby, 1, adopts the attached request for proposal, or RFP version 6.0, for a vendor or two to provide election management services, and 2, shall cause the RFP to be posted on Pacifica websites within the next 7 days, and 3, shall within the next 7 days circulate the RFP to the 4 vendors which have expressed an interest in responding to an RFP for election management services. Furthermore, the Pacifica National Board shall decide in December 2008 or January 2009 whether to initiate a multi-year transition to electronic balloting. End.
Go ahead, Yosh, motivate it and summarize the concept of the RFP.
Well, boy, that's difficult. Maybe I should ask Anthony to motivate it. Basically, you know, we feel that going into, well, I guess it's in two parts. One is we do need to float an RFP for election management services. I guess that's perhaps part and parcel of the NES, or it might be something ancillary to the NES. And secondly, there's a possibility that going to electronic balloting will save the foundation some money, but of course this committee is not in a position to make that decision. That decision ultimately will be the PNB. I don't know if I've made that clear enough or motivated it sufficiently.
Anthony, did you want to add?
Well, I just saw this language today myself. I'm a little unsure about a couple of aspects myself.
You can express your doubts. That's okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't know that we need this initial reasoning, separation of electoral process from the governance. It sort of implies that we have to contract out, whereas I don't think we have to. We're just examining it as an option for possibly getting a better managed election, not because we're bound to do it by the bylaws, because the bylaws haven't been changed, and you know, as to this angle, and it hasn't been done before. And the other part of the final sentence, but I don't know why we're telling the, or are we trying to tell the PNB that it has to make a decision by January about whether it wants to do electronic balloting? I mean, it can sit on that decision if it so chooses.
Okay. Did you want to propose amendments to that, to those effects?
Yeah, I guess most of what we've done tonight has been making things a little more general or advisory. So I suppose I would suggest if maybe something that reads like, in order to examine the in order to examine the possibility of a more in order to examine the options for a more efficient election, the PNB hereby adopts the attached RFP. That just goes to why it's being done rather than what is being done, but I'm just a little nervous about us being bound to that language that suggests that we have to do this.
Okay, hold the point there. Yosh, can you live with that substitute language for the opening phrase?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Now, it seems like your next point, Anthony, was that the current wording implies that it's absolute that Pacifica will pick among one of these vendors rather than the option that it might reject them all, conceivably. Not that that's a goal to aspire to, but it could happen if it was either too expensive or none of them quite offered the assurance that we needed that they could really do the kind of services we need. Was that what you were getting at, Anthony?
Well, actually, it was a little deeper than that. It was that. They in terms of the outcome, it's possible outcome that is the same.
I thought you meant that the possibility that there was a possibility.
Please speak louder, Steve.
I thought that you were trying to say that there would be a possibility that we might not use any outside vendors and do it all in house.
Yeah, that's. That's really the upshot. The language as it reads now seems to suggest that we're obligated to go with an outside provider, and I don't think we are. We want to examine it as an option to do things either cheaper or more efficiently or perhaps both. But at this point, we're simply examining our options and seeing what we can obtain, and we're not bound to do so. We're just trying to do that as in the interests of efficiency and good practice, not because the bylaws have been changed such that we have to do it.
Okay, so how about this sentence added at the end of the first paragraph? The election committee will then, for those who don't have the computers, point three is, shall within the next 7 days circulate the RFP to the four vendors which have expressed an interest in responding to an RFP for election management services, period. And my new sentence would read, the election committee will then review all applications and recommend to the PNB whether to use such a vendor, and if so, which one. Does that work for people?
No, that doesn't address what I think he was trying to say. It should be that the PNB will examine all the proposals and decide whether to do it in-house or out-of-house, and if out-of-house, which of the proposals, if any, she'll accept.
I thought that's exactly what my husband
said. You know what? I apologize, then.
Let me read it again. If it's unclear, please help me.
Asleep.
Correct.
No, you said that.
The election committee will then review, and I think it should be us rather than the PNB, because they don't have the time to go through that detail work. I think that's what our job is. The election committee will then review all applications and recommend to the PNB whether to use such a vendor, and if so, which one. So we could say, no, don't use any vendor. That's what that sentence encompasses.
Oh, I see what I object to. Take out the word such.
Whether to use a vendor. I see. That's fine. Whether to use a vendor, and if so, which one?
Yeah, that changes the meaning to me.
Okay. Other feedback just for the moment, just on this sentence, then we'll go back to other sentences.
I've got a question. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about in-house, and I'm not sure what is meant by in-house. I mean, other than perhaps an NES, other than an NES, which actually I don't consider in-house, I'm not sure what is meant by that, if someone could clarify.
NES is in-house. We hired him.
Yeah, it's a direct hire versus an entity, whether nonprofit or for-profit, that then in turn hires its own staff or has its own staff. So it's a layer of separation, whereas, you know, the arrangement for three elections has always been we directly employed the person. They were on our payroll or as a consultant to us or whatever the case may be, rather than a corporate entity that we hire, you know, as a body rather than an individual person.
We've done both, by the way. We've hired an NES and then retained an outside entity to supervise the election. We've done that.
Which year did we have an outside entity?
Two.
Kenny Mostern year.
And which outside entity was that?
I forget its name, but we had our own supervisor, and then we also retained a particular organization.
True Ballot?
I stand corrected. Right, True Ballot.
True Ballot, yeah.
Okay.
But Mostern worked for True Ballot, right?
Right.
Frequently, I believe. Didn't he?
Right.
Yeah. Not simultaneous, I don't think. I think it was subsequent.
Well, for the BAI election this year.
I'm afraid he did.
I think he was actually an employee at that point of True Ballot.
Oh, that's only a mild conflict of interest. But okay.
No, I'm not implying there was something unsavory about that.
I was joking.
But our contracting process was with him and True Ballot?
True Ballot did the ballot counting. He supervised everything else, the local supervisors and the proceeding leading up to the ballot.
So we actually had two separate contracts?
I'm not sure that's correct. It's my recollection
that
it was...
Oh, okay.
No, actually, my recollection of what happened at BAI was that he, after Casey was no longer the national election supervisor, that the national office retained True Ballot, but it was Caleb. As the only person on behalf of True Ballot who did the work, but I think the contract was with the entity of True Ballot. I could be wrong. That's my recollection.
Oh, that's a different election, though.
Yeah, yeah, they were talking about this year's.
They were talking about an earlier election.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Well, so we've done it different ways, but back to this sentence. Does anyone have a problem with the sentence I added?
I think it was good.
Okay. All right, now let's go back to other parts of the proposal. Actually, I had a concern about the part that says shall cause the RFP to be posted on Pacifica websites within the next 7 days. Now,
me too.
If the goal is to really cast a wide net, besides the four vendors who've already expressed interest, then it's not doing anything to put it on, you know, every Pacifica website that exists, because you don't have people who run elections trolling around looking at our website. Mm-hmm. Wow, have they opened up an opportunity for us? So it seems like we need to mandate some sort of effort, without being too detailed, to seek out those venues where companies and nonprofits like that might be looking for gigs and put an ad there rather than just on our... I mean, in addition, of course it can go on our websites, but in addition to that, we should try to do some real genuine outreach. Does anyone have a thought on that?
I think that we can Google for people who run elections, and if they don't have a website, then we probably don't want them. I'm serious about that.
I mean, we already have the four vendors that we've spoken with.
Well, could somebody on this committee volunteer to do a little research over the next week to just find... There's got to be some sort of listserv or website for people from different companies and different states who are involved in election management. And that would be a place to put this notice. But I don't think we should foist it onto any of the staff of Pacifica. They're way overburdened. It's a pretty easy thing for one of us to track down. Is there anyone who would volunteer for that task? I don't think it's likely to be real-time consuming. In fact, better yet, maybe, you know, we could just call one of the places that's not applying you know,
Paul
like,
Rove and Associates.
Yeah, right. No, like, what is that organization in Washington that advised us on STB voting? They do a lot of work on proportional representation, based in D.C. Well, anyway, there are places you could call. This could be like a 10-minute volunteer job. So would somebody please volunteer to do that?
Clarify it again, Bob, what the task is?
To find some sort of either a website or a listserv that people in this industry, if you'll pardon the expression, would tend to look around to see, you know, is there anyone who wants to run an election, wants a contractor to run an election? And so then, you know, they could say, oh, wow, look, Pacifica's looking for somebody. I'll apply. We'll apply.
Yeah, the problem is right this second in history, if you Google any of this, you get all things about the national presidential election.
Yeah.
But yeah, Carolyn here, I'll be glad to take that on.
Thank you, Carolyn.
I think
okay.
You've done that before. Yeah.
All right. So with that said, let's try to modify this language a little bit.
I was going to say, as soon as you send me the language.
Yeah. So let's say, shall cause the RFP to be posted on Pacifica websites. And why don't we say, and any appropriate websites or listservs concerned with election management. How about that? and then back to within the next, actually 7 days may be pushing it a little tight. Now. We don't have an internet manager at Pacifica, so why don't we, to my knowledge, so why don't we say within the next, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
20 days?
I like 3 weeks since we're still advertising the first presidential debate on Pacifica.org.
Okay, Carolyn?
We're going to get a lot of people who don't know STV. Is STV or choice voting mentioned prominently in the RFP?
Okay, just hold that thought. Hold that thought for 1 second. Right now I'm asking a very simple question. How many days should we, ask the staff that may not exist right now at Pacifica to do this task of putting it on the website? So Bonnie suggested 3 weeks. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, it'll be changed to 3 weeks. Now, go ahead, Carolyn. Your question was about... whether it defines STV in the RFP? Is that what you
want? Does it mention choice voting or STV? Because otherwise we're going to get people who don't know anything about it.
No, it does not.
Can I add something in here, just for the hell of it?
Hold on. Let's resolve this question. So Yosh says it doesn't say anything about that. Do people think that we should add that to the RFP?
Oh, absolutely. Otherwise you're going to get people who don't know anything about it. And we could be deluged with...
Yosh, do you have any feeling on that?
No, that's perfectly fine. I think that is a major point. STV, I think a lot of people who think that they can run a proper election aren't very familiar with STV, and so that's a good point.
Okay, so can we just... go ahead, Bill.
In the RFP, the one that Yosh sent out under the section called Background of the Pacifica Foundation, the second paragraph under that, it says all our elections are by single transferable vote, and then
it talks about
that and Choice Plus Pro.
And I'm sorry, does it define what a single transferable vote is?
No, it doesn't define it.
If you have to ask, then...
If you have to ask, right.
That's a good point, right. That's part of what we're looking for is people that really understand it and how to administer it, right?
They need to know how to use Wikipedia.
Right.
Good point. Bob.
Okay, yes, Steve.
Yeah, I just, for the heck of it, I went on Google, and the first thing that popped up is League of Women Voters of Los Angeles Election Management. League of Women Voters manages elections for many different types of organizations, housing, neighborhood councils, nonprofit organizations, homeowner associations, unions and associations. They do everything. They will read bylaws, they will procedures, phone contact, moderating, monitoring, registering, and voting. There are many of these organizations that do this. It just so happens, by the way, League of Women Voters sounds like a pretty good first choice. So if we're looking for vendors, there's certainly enough of them. Just like 2 seconds pops up half a dozen.
Okay, thanks for that. All right, so so we don't need to add language about STV, right? It's already in there.
No, sounds good.
Okay. All right, so are there any other concerns about the language of this motion? Well, actually, let's segment off the question about the transition to electronic balloting. I'm just talking about kind of the mechanics of that we've gone over about how the request is sent out and, you know, what happens once it's brought, once we get the applications, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, this is Anthony. I just realized a way to easily accomplish the concern I first expressed.
Okay.
I think we, if that initial clause is just deleted and it starts the Pacifica National Board hereby blah, 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 and then what the material you added at the end sort of explains the, that this is an optional process.
Well, okay, I understand your concern, but it seems like it actually is helpful to have at least a phrase of explanation as to why we're even considering this at all, which is to have a more efficient and, I would add, and properly run election. So,
I don't have a problem with that, of course.
Okay. So, all right. Any other concerns about this first paragraph?
Yeah, Bill?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what fits in, but I think we need to define this is under the RFP,
right?
Not under the motion, but
okay.
We need to define the responsibilities of local election supervisors.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's make it real confusing to them.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's finish with the actual motion, and then we'll turn to the RFP itself.
Okay.
So, sounds like people are ready for me to read the final amended version. Is that right? Okay. Here's a shot at it. In order to examine the options for a more efficient and properly run election, the Pacifica National Board hereby, actually this should be preceded as with the boilerplate language, the Elections Committee recommends that the PNB adopt the following motion. Okay, that should just be everything we do should start that way. Okay, all right. In order to examine the options for a more efficient and properly run election, the Pacifica National Board hereby, number one, adopts the attached request for proposal, RFP version 6.0, for a vendor or two to provide election management services. Two, shall cause the RFP to be posted on Pacifica websites and any appropriate websites or listservs concerned with election management as suggested by the Elections Committee within the next 3 weeks. And I'll put commas around that so that the next 3 weeks is referring to the time to post it, not the time that the committee will get the staff person the list of websites. Okay? And three, shall within the next 7 days, now this is another 7-day mandate, circulate the RFP to the four vendors which have expressed an interest in responding to an RFP for election management services. So, who are we asking to circulate this to the four vendors? Isn't this something that one of the PNB members on this committee could just volunteer to do?
Doesn't the IED do that?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Technically, that has to be done by...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, is 7 days reasonable, or do we want to give the IED a little more time?
How much time are we giving people to respond to it?
Yosh?
Well, you know, Jack is not on the call, but I think Jack suggested that we try to get someone identified by the end of December. You know, end of November is coming up really quickly. Certainly by January. You know, all of this stuff has to shake out in probably January. We got to do all of this stuff and have these people in place by March.
Right.
Bonnie.
Yeah, go ahead.
my recommendation when you get to that is that we, very few people require proposals be addressed in December. Most things that I've experienced, at least, you're given a little bit of time past the new year. Because December's really a lost month, you know, for a lot of people. Everybody's so busy. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we won't be expecting that we're going to get well thought through proposals without giving people some time at the beginning of the new year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair, but the question on the floor right now is not that time frame, but the time frame to ask the IED to just circulate this document to four companies.
If we're going to be handing, if through the PNB they are being handed a completed RFP with all of the information about those vendors, then do we not think that it's reasonable to expect that it can be done in a week?
Yeah, perhaps so. Yeah, if it's that simple, it's just really sending out four emails. All right. So, shall we leave it at 7 days? All right. Hearing no objection, it'll be that. So now, again, number three would read, shall within the next 7 days circulate the RFP to the four vendors which have expressed an interest in responding to an RFP for election management services. Okay, and the final sentence would be, the election committee will then review all applications and recommend to the PNB whether to use a vendor, and if so, which one. Okay, so any further discussion on that section that I've read so far? There's another part coming, but just that piece. Okay, so without objection, then we'll adopt that piece of it. Now, before we plunge into the whole discussion about electronic balloting, Bill had a concern about the RFP itself. So do you want to repeat that, Bill?
Well, yeah, I had a concern about electronic balloting, too, but
well, just hold that thought for a minute.
Yeah, part of the LES.
Speak louder, please. Speak louder.
It's part of the RFP, but it mentions the LES, but it doesn't really say what the LES does. It mentions candidate forms, but it's not clear from reading it whether it's something that the LES does or something it's done nationally. I mean, we know how it's done, but for them to write a proposal, they may need a little more detail on this sort of thing. And especially whether... you know, considering the problems we've had, I mean, they'll have to tell us how they're going to handle it, but I'd like to know how they're going to handle challenges and problems. And I don't know if we should try to list some of the problems we've had or not. I don't want to scare them off, but we need to make sure they can handle them.
Carolyn here?
Yeah, Carolyn.
I think at one point we were going to write a manual for the National Election Supervisor. I think if we change the language slightly, we could just write a protocol for running the elections that either an individual or a group could use. But maybe it's time to do that so we have it handy and we can refer to it or refer people to it if they have questions, which of course means another work group. But...
Well, I think, if I may, the question on the floor right now is how detailed do we want to get in the RFP? I mean, obviously, if we choose a company, or if we don't, if we choose an individual, then at that point we will have to get into much more detail about what are the responsibilities, what are the pitfalls, what are the lessons we learned last time. But I think the question, because there is some urgency to get this out the door fairly soon, is
right.
What is the bare minimum we need at the RFP stage? And then later stages, you know, we can go further. So, Bill, do you have suggestions for wording?
I don't know if I can do it here or that.
All right. I'll tell you what. We don't have to, and it's also officially past our adjournment time. So how would people feel, since we've gotten this far and the PNB is meeting, I know they're meeting next week, but that agenda has already been sent out.
Don't bet on it for next week. Yeah.
Okay.
That agenda's really horrible.
So there's, I think there's a meeting December 7th I saw on the calendar. Is that?
Is
any PNB member?
Yeah, I think it's a special meeting for the affiliate director.
All right. But
consideration.
You don't know
but
if there could
be
other.
Maybe this can fit in there. We're having to sandwich a number of things.
Well, here's what I'm going to suggest, is that since we may, well, I guess if we're meeting on the 1st, that would give us more time to revisit this. Maybe we could ask the RFP working group to meet one more time, or maybe not even meet. Maybe you can email each other with wording to deal with Bill's concerns, which I think makes sense that there should be a little bit of explanation. I don't think it should get too elaborate and shouldn't try to spell out all the problems, not because we don't want to scare them. We do want to scare them. We want to make sure they're up to the task, but because we would probably spend weeks disagreeing about which were the real problems and
right.
How many are there. So it should just maybe some general statement about and plans for dealing with a litany of problems that have developed over years of running elections or some phrase like that. But anyway, we can't do that on the phone tonight. So Yosh and Anthony and Bill, would you be willing to work on that over the next 3 weeks?
Yes, Ms. Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I think, Carolyn, if you just refer them to the National Election Supervisors' reports, they'll be scared enough. God knows there's enough detail in there.
Okay, is that Bonnie?
Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to step on you.
Yeah, no.
You know, assuming that we're going to find professional people and experienced people, I don't think we have to get too fussy about too much explanation. I agree that it will be fine to put some limited amount of information about it, but if these are serious and sincere people who do this for a living, they're going to go online and look up information about the Pacifica elections. I think you'll be able to tell if you get a proposal from somebody who obviously has not researched our elections. We'll be able to tell that from their proposal. I just don't think that we should discount that, and we should hope that people are going to be kind of looking into this in writing their proposals. So I don't think we have to get terribly detailed about it.
And if I can add something,
yes.
It was Art Stasny who had strongly recommended that we attach a copy of the bylaws or at least the relevant portions relating to the NES and the LES.
Sure.
You know, that's got to be, you know, part of the packet of the RFP.
That makes
sense. They've got to know, you know, what the bylaws call for.
Right, right.
That in itself might provide guidance enough, but anyway, we'll kick it around a bit more.
Okay, all right, so the working group will take this back, but in the meantime, we have adopted the body, the main body of the motion. Let me just remind everyone what we didn't address tonight, and I think it would be helpful if the working group could have a little more discussion, and ideally, if you have, I hate to ask more work, but if you could do a brief kind of pros and cons about electronic balloting so that we could, not that we're going to make a recommendation at the next meeting, but just to kind of clarify what is this issue we're throwing in the lap of the PNB. You know, so kind of a little bit of a roadmap of how to proceed on towards that decision process. All right, are there any last round of comments on this whole RFP question?
Yeah, I've just sent 6 or 7 web pages with election management organizations that would probably bid, which you can all look over at your leisure.
Mm. Okay, great. Thank you. All right, anything else on the RFP? All right, I will send out this amended version.
We're waiting on that last.
Yeah, we're going to, well, we've adopted the first part, but as far as the last sentence about, you know, whether the PNB shall decide in December or January, whether to initiate a multi-year transition to electronic balloting, that we're not taking a position tonight. We'll revisit that at our December 1st meeting. And,
cool.
You know, if a working group wants to, you know, look at that further, change it, whatever, feel free. Okay, so that's it for tonight. Is there anything else that's urgent, because we are over time at this point, on any topic? Okay, hearing nothing, then I move to adjourn.
To adjourn.
Okay. Any objection? Okay, thanks to
everybody.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Good night, all.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.